the light of Christ, thanks be to God. The last time in this church that we each held candles in our hands was on Christmas Eve as we sang Silent Night. As a reminder, here's part of verse 3. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. And so now here we are bringing the light of Christ into the church at Easter, processing in with the big Paschal candle, passing the light to one another, proclaiming Christ's redeeming power. Now, those who come to church less frequently than others can be excused for thinking that we always have candles to hold. But it used to be almost an unspoken requirement that the preacher at Christmas or Easter would make gentle fun of people who came to church only on those occasions. Now, I say this with some trepidation in my next sentence, because the person I'm going to mention is sitting here with us. But as the Reverend Dr. Sarah Kathleen Johnson, a professor at St. Paul University here in Ottawa, reminded clergy during a talk at a recent conference, those people too are faithful Christians, observing some of the holiest of days, maintaining tradition in their own way. So they haven't lost the faith. But returning to the theme of light, we heard about it in the first reading this evening from the creation story in the book of Genesis. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. This is God shining a light so we can see, either literally or metaphorically. Then there's the story of Noah's Ark, where there's an eventual clearing of the clouds. The sun eventually shone, bringing a new light. That's a renewal of the creation story, a new beginning being proclaimed for humanity. And while we didn't hear from the Gospel of John this evening, it also provides us with some insight into the light. In the very first chapter of John, he tells us about the Word, the truth, which becomes physically present for us as Jesus. And what did Jesus bring for us? Life. And what does John say? And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness. And he also says, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. That opening part of the Gospel of John is often called the prologue. But in a way, it feels like it should be, perhaps be called the summary or the abstract. It tells us about the meaning of light and truth that Jesus brought. Our Orthodox friends, I believe, have cottoned on to that because they use that reading at Easter, not at Christmas, like the Western Church does. So this is the light of God, the message from God. What does Jesus tell us about this light? What's his primary message? Well, it's to love God, love our neighbors. So firstly, worship God, love the message, love the Word, love the light. And secondly, to love our neighbors, treating them the way we would want to be treated. And of course, that light that we keep talking about can be shone on everything and everywhere we look. As Christians following God's example, Jesus' example, we are called to look for those situations where God's love and our love is needed. The people living in poverty down the street, perhaps hungry and desperate for assistance and warmth. The people addicted to drugs, desperate for help, perhaps desperate for self-esteem and for love. The people living in abusive relationships, desperate for safety. the people who are ill, desperate for hope and comfort, the people living in isolation and loneliness, desperate for companionship, the people dying in places where war and violence run rampant, desperate for security, for food, for shelter. Of course, the light too can be shone in places where truth needs to be spoken rather than platitudes, and where there are systematic injustices, poverty, racism, sexism. So this is the light that Jesus brings. As we heard this week, especially in yesterday's Good Friday service, the local leaders of the Judeans, both religious and secular, had tried to extinguish that light. And for a while, it looked like it had been put out with Jesus' crucifixion. Darkness was threatening to cover the world. It seemed that Jesus had had a good run, but he was finished. The light was blown out, or so it appeared. So moving on to the Gospel of Mark that we heard this evening, Jesus is no longer in the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome go to visit the tomb when? When it was light. He tells them, there's a young man who tells them to tell the disciples that Jesus is going ahead of them. It's a matter of some speculation, of course. Is that young man actually Jesus, unrecognized by them? Is this some angel, a representative of God? Is it even God's own self undercover? And the Gospel of Mark leaves us to speculate about that. But the light wasn't extinguished. God hasn't allowed that to happen. And so we continue to read on in the Gospel of Mark. Of course, Mark has a couple of endings, the shorter and the longer. So if we stick with the shorter, which is perhaps the original ending, what do we hear? The women told the disciples what had happened. And then we also hear that the disciples were sent out somehow by Jesus. There's no real mention of Jesus presenting himself to them physically. But they went out proclaiming the saving power of Jesus, proclaiming what the light shows. The warmth, the help, the safety, the hope, the companionship, the security of God's love for us. With the shorter ending of the gospel, Mark leaves us hanging. He leaves us to speculate about what will be to come. Now, some people don't like the Gospel of Mark because it forces us to figure things out. Some make fun of it because of its urgency. Everything is immediate. Immediately this, immediately that. But that urgency is what is required in our lives and in our mission as Christians. We're not really told to strike a task force to think about how to figure out what to do. How do we need to act following the example of Jesus? Immediately. We're called to take the light with us, to immediately pass its message on to others, to act upon what that light shows. In a few minutes, we will hear these words during the Eucharistic prayer. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light, where you dwell with all your beloved children. At that prayer, we're calling on God to bring us to see the light, place where we'll live together in love. That's the light that didn't die. The light of Christ. Thanks be to God.